Right now, a very special guest. I thought he was ducking me. Since I moved to the middays with UBT, I feel like I haven't heard from Iron Eagle in quite some time. We used to text, and now we do not. He's since moved on in multiple partners at CBS. A new one will be unveiled this Sunday while he does the Jets game. Jets Steelers, Iron Eagle, J.J. Watt on the call. We welcome to the show, Iron Eagle. How are you, Iron?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First one, Juan Soto. Is there a locker room dynamic issue? Second one... Nolan McLean, do you think if he put his mind to it, he could have played in the NFL? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
He looks like he's 30. He's going to start more trouble.
Oh, God. Do you actually watch baseball? Because you don't call it. I mean, you call everything else. Do you watch baseball at all?
I do. I grew up a Mets fan, so I'm into it. Yes.
How do you watch anything without, like, just critically analyzing what the broadcasters are doing? How do you do that, man? That's got to be impossible for you.
Yeah, I'm just on a Slack channel with Gary, and I just send him my thoughts throughout the broadcast. No, I can watch as a fan because I don't call baseball.
Okay.
And I can truly view it through that perspective. So all the things that you guys deal with on a day-to-day basis, the calls, the topics, I'm living in it. I'm the embodiment of it. I feel it.
How do you think Sal would be in the booth, by the way, Bird? How would Sal do?
Unfiltered. You'd have to put it on SNY After Dark.
I like it. I'd put Dennis Miller to shame. All right, so how about your new partners here, Ian? You know, obviously it was new after fouls with Charles Davis. I enjoyed you guys. Yep. I thought you were doing a good thing. Now they decide to move J.J. Watt from the desk to the booth. Where are you at with your new partner yet again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing from a lot of people, and everybody seems to be saying, like, you're the most yoked booth. And I know. I'm not going to deny it. We have a very similar workout routine, and we wear the same size clothes. It's going to be great. No, to be perfectly honest, the whole lead up to it has been fantastic. He's very prepared. He obviously has the experience as a Hall of Fame player. And then the added part of this job is what kind of perspective do you have? What kind of takes do you have? Are you opinionated, which he is, and can you back it up? And then the little extra secret sauce is he's got a tremendous sense of humor. He's self-deprecating. He wants to be a really good teammate. So far, so good. We haven't even called our first regular season game yet, just the two of us. We did a game last year on Netflix. We did a preseason game this year, Jets and Philadelphia Eagles, but I can already tell he checks all the boxes.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure it doesn't hijack and make it a Steelers thing. I know you won't let him, though, because of his brother here. Keep this one down the line, right down the middle. If anything, pro-Jets, Ian, let's go.
Yeah, I have a feeling that might come up at some point, but I think he has gone out of his way to make sure it's not going to be an issue. But clearly, he's still at a place where his brother is one of the premier players in the NFL. Their relationship is really close. There's a third brother that played in the NFL, Derek Watt.
Yeah.
And the crazy part, I mean, this is not really a known story, although I think I told it a few years ago. I asked him once, you're JJ, your brother's TJ, but your other brother is Derek. Why is he not DJ Watt? It sounds to me like a guy that would make a lot of money playing bar mitzvahs, sweet 16s, quinceañeras. And he said, you really want to know why? I said, yeah. This is when he was playing back in the day. He said they originally thought he was going to be DJ Watt, but they watched Full House, and Derek got made fun of at school because of DJ Tanner.
Oh, my God. Come on.
And the nickname went away. He's now Derek Watt forever.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's like a gold yarn of information.
That's funny. All right, so you've sat down with Tomlin quite a bit. He's been there forever.
Yes.
You know Aaron, who played for the Jets and his coach for a while. I imagine you guys will sit down tomorrow, and if so, what are you expecting from Aaron Glenn as the head coach now, the man in charge?
Yeah, we had three production meetings in the preseason with Aaron. He's very straightforward, direct. You can see why he's a great communicator with players. He doesn't beat around the bush. He just deals with it. And in many ways, similar to Tomlin, in that ilk of, hey, I'm just going to tell it like it is, and then we're going to handle our business from there. you know, the one difference is the common theme I heard in any of these meetings. Aaron played at such a high level, was a three-time Pro Bowler. And when he walks in the room, guys, you remember, oh, he's 5'8". Like, this guy was one tough SOB to play in the league like he did, to build the reputation that he did. And I do think that translates in what he's trying to get across to his players: toughness, accountability, and being highly competitive. That's the one difference you'd like to see from the team this year. No idea if it's going to turn into 8 wins, 9 wins. I know, you know, some Jets fans want to visualize what this could be. They have to be competitive. They lost 7 games that were one-score games last year, and any Jets fan remembers a bunch of winnable games in a 5-12 season. You win 4 of those games, and you're talking about an entirely different kind of year. So the compete level, and I think the biggest difference this year, the defense has to turn the ball over. They've got to make game-winning plays. They have to slam the door shut in close games. That wasn't happening last year, and there's a new attitude, there's a new philosophy, and you could just feel a new vibe talking to the players, and they all would mention Aaron and his playing career and the connection made based on that.
But when you have a quarterback that has trouble throwing the football, that could be a little impediment there. What do you think of Justin Fields getting a fresh start here with a new organization, being the guy with the Jets now?
Yeah, I just feel a lot more maturity than the young man I met when he was a rookie in Chicago, and that's normal in the NFL. And, you know, fortunately, I've been doing this job a long time, so that means you do a lot of production meetings, players, coaches, et cetera, and you do see the transformation and the evolution, including a young Tom Brady or a young Drew Brees, and then to see what they eventually become. The thing with Justin, I think he was fighting the expectations in Chicago, and now is at a place and has to realize he's at a crossroads. This is either going to make his career and he's going to continue being an NFL starting quarterback, or he's going to fall into that next category if this season doesn't go according to plan, where you're just fighting to stay in the league and fighting to find the right situation and be a backup and accrue years in the NFL as opposed to having productive seasons and making a mark in your career. So I do think he recognizes that. He understands it. Had a bunch of Steelers games last year when he started and then when Russell Wilson took over. And there are still people in Pittsburgh that believe if they just stuck with Justin Fields, that their season may have been different. So he gets a chance to reinvent himself a little bit. And I'm curious to see what this offense is really going to look like. Tanner Engstrand comes over from Detroit, and he was the passing game coordinator. This is going to be a run-heavy offense. And the hit on the offensive line, Elijah Vera Tucker, that's real. Because it not only affects having a guy that you relied on that right side, but it affects the rookie, Armon Membu, who knew that he could look to his left and had someone that was trustworthy and would do his job well, which would take a little bit of pressure off of the rook.
There's no question. That hurts for sure. Of course, Ian Eagle, BT and Sound on the Fan, Ian in the booth, CBS, 1 o'clock, week one, Jets and the Steelers, Jets 2.5-point home dogs. So, you know, somebody like JJ looks at the tape from a player's perspective, and he'll come up with Rodgers still has it, Rodgers doesn't. You've been around the game a long time, though, so I don't want to put you in a spot because you are calling the game play-by-play, but do you think that Aaron Rodgers is still capable of slinging this thing at a pretty high level or no?
Yeah, I think he's still capable of slinging it. The questions with Aaron will come on movement, and he was one of the great, to me, pocket presence guys in that he could avoid a rush with a very subtle step to the left or move to the right. And that was instinctual. That was something that he had in him and then had the physical attributes to back it up. Brady obviously was great at it as well. You just don't have the same reaction time that you used to have when you're at that age. The positive, if you're the Steelers, is that you're really not asking Aaron Rodgers to go out and be a magician for you. And I know this term gets tossed around and is usually a negative connotation, but in this case, just go manage the game. manage the game. The defense should be a top five defense. They obviously addressed the skill position with DK Metcalf and then paid him. And I think he's highly motivated. I think the tight end Fryer move is going to benefit greatly from Rodgers. The run game has been adjusted with Jalen Warren now stepping as the lead guy, Caleb Johnson, rookie from Iowa, backup, no more Najee Harris, and an offensive line that they believe in. They are going young at the tackle positions with Broderick Jones now shifting to the left side and with Dantanu getting a chance to be healthy and star on the right side. They've got a young center. So I just think they're giving it one last shot, guys. If I look at their roster, what they did defensively, acquiring Slay and Ramsey, Thornhill, to me it seems as if they believe they can go one last shot at this thing before they might have to make wholesale changes in the future.
How much are we going to be watching the Aaron Rodgers show during the broadcast? Is it like obviously it's the main storyline going to the game, Rodgers returning to MetLife Stadium, all that. Are we conscious effort here to make it about Aaron Rodgers in this week one matchup?
Well, we'll probably lead with Bubby Brister. Yeah, exactly. We're just going to go through the ranks of guys that play for both teams. Look, obviously Aaron is a focal point, not only because he just played for the Jets, but because where he is in his career. You know, this is someone that will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's in his 21st season in the NFL. He's 41 years old. And, oh, by the way, he has this whole chapter that he just went through, a bizarre two-year journey with the New York Jets that never quite took hold. So, yeah, certainly it's going to be a big storyline. But you guys know, once the game starts, go do the game. That's my philosophy. I don't believe in the theory that, hey, we got to do this many shots ahead of time. We got to get to this in the second. Let's get a feel for the game. The game's going to dictate where our coverage goes, in my mind.
It's going to be 40,000 plus Steeler fans there, Burge. You see that?
I did. Saw the fact that they are well represented. They travel really well, I'll say that. I had Steelers Raiders last year in Las Vegas, and that ended up being Fields' last start. And Pittsburgh won the game, and they went 4-2 with Fields as the starting quarterback. That might have been 70%. Steeler fans in attendance for the Raiders and Steelers last year. They do travel really well.
Would you take a chance on Ben Simmons if you're the Knicks?
What do you need him for? Is it just a defensive presence, someone off the bench that could guard 1-5 at a minimum deal? Yeah, I would.
I'm with you.
I'm with you.
If you're looking for more from him, you're just not going to get it at this stage of his career. And you saw last year with the Clippers, which seemed like a really good fit, by the playoffs, he wasn't really playable. They got to that stage where he was not in the rotation. So I just don't know come playoff time if Ben Simmons would be a part of your big plans for a team that believes they can win the Eastern Conference. But if he's accepting of the role and his ego can accept it, which I'm not sure is the case, I would consider it.
Well, then that would be the deterrent. If the ego gets in the way of his new role, then I'm not interested at all. And by the way, I'm with you just from a basketball, like infusing him within the Knicks, you know, 5 minutes a half and, you know, passing over people, alleviating some defensive pressure from Brunson. There's basketball reasons that you and I could both list where it makes sense here. But he said yesterday he's not even sure if he wants to play. So if he's not committed on playing, now I'm not even in a small role. If you don't know if you want to play, you're already basically saying, I don't want to play, so we don't need you at this point.
Yeah, the way I would categorize it, that stretch of time for the Nets, it was a number of mercurial players and personalities. And he might have been the most mercurial of the bunch. It was tough to read day in and day out what was going on there and what was motivating him.
I also obviously famously got a start here at WFAN, was a part of the Mike and the Mad Dog show. You ever play golf with Francesa?
No, I've never been offered. But
so
I don't
never almost
play.
Killed you.
Really?
Basically.
You never been offered at all? Never?
No, I've never been offered.
BT and I played with Mike this summer, and Mike had an Aaron shot that hit BT in the chest. So
drilled me right in the chest.
Yeah,
and that was by accident.
Well,
It's up for debate. Even my wife said it. He tried to kill you. I swear to God. It hurt like hell, man.
I thought, like you, great. I might be having a new partner soon after that shot. So.
And now BT's in litigation, so it's all good.
Yep. Taking him for everything he's got.
Ian, you are the best. We appreciate the time, as always. We'll enjoy watching you on the broadcast on Sunday with J.J. Watt. Good luck this season. We'll talk to you soon.
Great. I just tackle the Soto stuff at the other side of the update.
Yeah, I mean, he's starting trouble again here, Bird. I don't know what to tell you. He's starting it up.
He said it. I didn't. Those are the quotes from the paper. Thanks, Ian. See you later.
See you guys.
Yeah, thanks,
things,
dude.
Those are things you can text me about. Don't bring it up. No, I mean, we talked about it. Ian's the best because he'll send the emoji, the bird emoji when you text.
Like, does he really?
He tags it with the bird
emoji.
No,
he doesn't.
Yes, he
does.
What? He's got his own emoji. He's Ian Eagle.
I wouldn't expect that.
The Birdman emoji.
I wouldn't expect that.
He is the best. I wish we had an app. The better interviews with Ian are like Jimmy Trina does it on the SI Media podcast, where you get a long...
But there's no focus. You just bounce around.
Long form. He got an hour and just talk about his career. He is tremendous. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the game with him on the call and J.J. Watt. And you're right. It's going to be about Rodgers, Watt, and his brother.
Like, keep him in line, Ian. Or Ian.
Oh, Ian. Yeah. Ian will. Jesus. You know that. All right.
Of course he will.